Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to Ask Kathleen. How are you all this evening? It is a blessing, a pleasure, an honor to be here with you tonight. I am so happy that it is Sunday evening, because you're here with me on Ask Kathleen and Adam, Where Art Thou? We are broadcasting only over here tonight at Ask Kathleen. The switchboard over at Adam, Where Art Thou? Is not on this evening. So just make a note of that, of this number. We are at 909-265-9189, 909-265-9189. So we will be having a good time, enjoying ourselves over here. And tonight is So Free Sunday. So free, so free, so fresh, so clean, so free Sunday. So sit back, relax, enjoy, and we will have a couple of PSAs and just a little bit of music, and I'll be right back with you. So get ready, sit back. We're going to have a great show. Lots of fun. Ronnie and I are going to be here with you tonight. We're going to be talking about some cool things. So I will be back with you in a second. Let's sit tight.
Today is Saturday.
Salad on Saturday. Fruit on Friday. Double on Thursday. All the healthy children eat well and move a lot. And move a lot. And move a lot. Eat well and move a lot.
60 minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day.
Skip a rope Saturday. Free tag Friday. Tap dance Thursday.
Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to FreeNet News, 90-second news break. The Occupy Wall Street protest that started in mid-September with a few dozen demonstrators now has over 15,000 and has spread beyond America. The group has garnered support from some unions and congressional groups like the Congressional Black Caucus. The New Orleans iconic Louisiana Superdome will be renamed to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome after a decade-long search for a potential buyer. The New Orleans Saints football team announced their agreement with Mercedes-Benz, giving the German automaker the title to the 36-year-old stadium in a 10-year lease. The cost was not made public. A judge ruled that the Fire Department of New York has not committed enough time or resources to reverse a long history of discrimination. The judge wrote that the underrepresentation of black firefighters in the FDNY is a direct result of the city's discrimination. Mexico City is considering plans to introduce temporary marriage licenses to help newlyweds avoid the hassle of divorce. The minimum marriage contract would be for 2 years and can be renewed if the couple agrees. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News.
Everybody, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. It is Sunday night. Oh my goodness, can you believe that we're almost at the end of October? I mean, we're talking Thanksgiving. Did you order your turkey yet? Are you ready for Christmas? Do you believe it's almost New Year's? I can't believe how fast it's going. The time is just flying. But anyway, we are going to enjoy it. We're going to have some fun. And tonight is So Free Sunday on Ask Kathleen. I just got a call from Mr. Elias. God bless him. He's just trying to see if he can open up the lines over on Adam, Where Art Thou? But until then, you are listening to Kathleen at Ask Kathleen. On the number here is 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. And with me tonight, co-hosting tonight, we're going to have a blast with Ronnie of Ronnie's Rave. And you know Ronnie always gives us the entertainment update. And tonight we figured, listen, there's so much going on in the news. There's so much happening in this country right now. We just wanted to take some free time and go over all of it, lots of it, bunch of hot topics that are happening in the news right now. So while we're waiting to hear from Mr. Elias and see what he has to say about opening up our line. Oops, that's probably him right now. Opening up our line on Adam, Where Art Thou? I'm going to bring Ronnie in, and we're going to chit-chat a little bit. Ronnie, how you doing, my sister? Ronnie, you there? Oh, where'd she go? Your mic is live, Ronnie, so whenever you're ready, just chime on in. So anyway, I'll get started. We have, and there's another caller on. Let me see who this is. Hi, caller from 267.
Oh, peace. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank Hello? You. How are you?
Hi, this is Universal Moore. I didn't know you was going to bring
me
on.
Hey. How you doing, Universal?
Doing all right. I was just listening, and since you was freestyling,
cool.
That's one of my favorite things to do. I was just going to sit
oh,
back
yeah.
and enjoy
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, hang in there. Hang tight with us. We're going to be freestyling. Ronnie will be back with us in just a second, so I'm going to do a couple of intros. We'll have a little music, and we'll be freestyling. So anytime you want to talk, you just let me know, okay?
I sure will.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Great to have you here. Oh, you're welcome. So we are waiting for Ronnie. Ronnie, I'm not sure why I can't hear you. Your mic is live. So if you have your phone on mute, that could be one.
Can you hear me?
There you are. What happened? What are you doing?
Well, okay. Because you said I had noise in the background, and I was I had my recorder on, and I forgot it on. I just ran to the phone. I was like, oh, let me get on. And then somebody will call me. Of course. They always want to wait right until 7 o'clock and call. Never fail. Every single, so I had to take the phone call. Sorry. How are you
no
doing?
No problem. My phone is ringing too, and I just decided that I'm not turning off the phone. I am going to blast people when they call me so everybody can hear it. I'm going because any one of my friends calling me Sunday night at 7 needs to be blasted. I was like, how come you're not on the show? Why aren't
right.
you listening
exactly.
to the show? And then you have the audacity to call me up at that time. So I don't know who's calling you, but next time somebody calls you, take the call and blast them right here on the air.
So ridiculous. And I couldn't get a chance to text, which is what I was trying to do. Like, let me text you. Get off the phone. Whatever.
I know, for real. For real. So listen, so much has been going on. We've got so much to talk about. So let's kind of we can just jump right in. But first, and probably every 5 minutes tonight, I'm just going to be reminding everybody about International Men's Day. It is November 19th. So if you are in New York, you're supposed to be at Black Spectrum Theater that night. If you didn't know, I'm telling you right now, you're supposed to be at Black Spectrum Theater on November 19th, Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Come on in, get your dinner from 6 to 6:45, and dinner is from 6 to 6:45. Did I say 6 to 6:45? Dinner is over at 6:45, and we are going to start the program and ceremony at 7 o'clock sharp. So if you come in after 6:45, you will not be able to eat. And if you come in at 6:30, you'll have 15 minutes. You'll have 15 minutes to eat. But it's International Men's Day all around the world.
Interesting.
Yes. All around the world, men are celebrated on November 19th. And so many people keep telling me, I never heard of that. I never heard of that. Well, that's why I'm talking about it. I am regional co-coordinator for the state of New York for International Men's Day. My co-coordinator is Reverend Philip Craig of the Greater Allen Cathedral, and we were appointed by the United States Coordinator, Diane A. Sears, to be the representatives for the state of New York. So what we do is talk about International Men's Day everywhere we possibly can and get people to be aware of it and to recognize men on that day. So last year I came up with an idea and presented it to my co-coordinator, and he was down with it. So what we did was we had the Great Men of Excellence of the State of New York Awards Ceremony. It was off the chain. Ronnie, what were you doing last year? I think you were away at the time. You couldn't make it.
November 10th?
November 19th. Don't you remember exactly where you were?
I'm going through my calendar. I'm rewinding from where we almost November of 2011 to November 2010. Yeah, I was away.
You were away. Okay, thank you. I knew you would know exactly where you were. Last year it was on a Friday night. Tonight it's on a Saturday evening. So everyone who celebrates the Sabbath, you will be able to come because it's after Sunday on Saturday. So it's a black tie event. It is at the Black Spectrum Theater in Jamaica, Queens, New York. That's at 177th Street and Baisley Boulevard. It starts promptly at 6 p.m. So make sure you're there in your gowns, your tuxes, your regalia. It is going to be off the chain. Our man of the year this year is none other than rocking you, Mr. Dobby.
Oh, wow.
Yep, he's our man of the year. He will be there. He is going to speak. You will be able to meet him, see him in the flesh when you come there. And Tripp of WBLS will also be there, and she will be speaking, sharing a few words with us. The keynote speaker for the evening. Now, listen, if you have not heard this man speak, when I say his name, if you don't know his name, you want to know his name. If you have not heard him speak, it's worth getting on a plane to come that night to hear this gentleman speak. His name is Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad. He is the head minister of Mosque Number 7. Now, if you don't know Mosque Number 7, even if you are not a member of the Nation of Islam, we all know Malcolm X. That was his mosque. So Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad is the head of Mosque Number 7. He is also the representative from Minister Louis Farrakhan for the state of New York and Northern New Jersey. So this man is going, he is an honoree. He was honored last year at International Men's Day, and he is going to be the keynote speaker for this year. He is going to be talking about everything, soup to nuts, the state of manhood and men. And he, knowing that he is speaking to communities from Christian to Jewish to Indian to Muslim to everything, we are celebrating men internationally in New York, November 19th, Saturday, Black Spectrum Theater, 6 p.m. You want to be there. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be awesome, Ronnie.
What's the address?
177th Street at Baisley Boulevard. 177th Street at Baisley Boulevard, and you turn right into Roy Wilkins Park, drive straight ahead, park your car, and the theater, it's an indoor theater, it's not outside, the theater is right in front of you when you drive into the entrance to Roy Wilkins Park on Baisley Boulevard and 177th Street.
And imagine if you were coming from Brooklyn, you would take what freeway?
You would take the, the Belt Parkway. And get off at Farmers Boulevard. You take Belt Parkway to Farmers Boulevard, make a left, drive straight down Farmers Boulevard to Merritt Boulevard, make another left, go to Baisley, make a right, and you're at the Baisley and 177th Street, turn into the park and park your car, and the theater is straight ahead in front of you. It was so great last year. It sold out last year, so that's why I'm telling everybody now, if you didn't get your tickets, go to www.internationalmensdayny.com, internationalmensdaynewyork.com. You can purchase your tickets online. You can see all about the website, the Master and Mistress of Ceremonies online. It is it's going to be a really, really hot event, I'm telling you. It's going to be wonderful. And you know what? right, this is the thing about that event in particular. People that were there last year, their complaint was this. The speaker, keynote speaker last year was Chris Broussard of ESPN Sports. Mm. His speech was so great that he is still getting speaking engagements from people who were there last year and heard him speak. Still, today, he's connected with people that he met. He made some unbelievable connections last year at that event.
How fabulous.
I know. It's just off the chain. And he connected with Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, and they have been talking. So, you know, they want each other to speak, and, you know, principals of schools have been calling each other because they met at that event. I mean, it was just crazy. So, and the other thing, too, is that we have a lot of young men, you know, boys and young men come, and they get to meet and interact with these older gentlemen who are the honorees, the great men of excellence in the state of New York, and then they start to expand their network. So all these guys doing all this great stuff who may have never heard of each other before or met each other before, all right here in this tri-state area, get a chance to meet, see, interact, network with one another, and the boys get to see it all. It's just crazy. I know. So last year, the complaint was there was too many men. Can you believe that?
What does that mean?
There was too many men. They're like, could you honor less men this year? I mean, there were too many men. It was just too many guys. So I said, okay. Usually the complaint is,
there's not enough men.
Not enough men.
That lets you know people don't know. They have no clue. People have no clue. They don't know what they want. Never satisfied. Too many men.
I promise you, that's what they said. Could you honor less men this year? It was just too many. It was just, and so it was, I think it was like 40-some-odd men that we honored.
Imagine
and
if a man said that about women.
Too many women. Too many women. They said too many guys. They don't want to see so many guys. One person said it reduces the significance of the award.
Did that person get one?
That was a woman. Most of the people that said it was too many men, were women. But there were a couple of guys who said it too. And I said, okay. Now, usually the complaint is there's no good men around. We never get to see good guys. And definitely if you're looking at television, you never get to see, you know, men playing real positive roles. You know, all we hear about are men in prison, men running away from their families, men who don't take care of their kids, men who are rotten, men who are this, men who are
that. They love that. No, they do. They love that.
They love that. But now here we have this event where all we do is celebrate men and young men, and they say there's too many guys.
Oh, my God. And how long was the event, though?
It was 7 to 10, and they had dinner. Okay, listen, and here's the other thing. They had dinner from 6 to 7. The awards program was 7 to 10. There was entertainment. We had singers, a professional singer. We had youth perform, the winners of the Nassau County Youth Singing Contest, where I was a judge. And one of them will be back again this year. The young man that I went to see who won Showtime at the Apollo Award.
Oh.
Oh my gosh, he's so good. He's
what
performing.
What a voice, yeah.
Oh yeah, because you saw him at the TV studio. He was at the studio the day Lisa Nichols was there. He was awesome. He'll be performing again this year. We have a Christian rapper, a recording artist, Gage. He is a Christian rap artist. He's performing this year. Then we have that amazing young band, the Michael Jazz Trio. Their career has taken off so crazy. They are so booked, it's not even funny. They are performing this year. And it is amazing. It's my version of the Academy Awards, and it's just off the charts.
Okay, I'm glad you made that comparison, because people watch the Academy Awards for hours.
Hours.
People, they don't know who they are. They don't have a clue. No significance. Half the people in the universe haven't seen any of those films. You know it's true.
Nobody sees
any of those films.
You're right. And then they watch the whole thing and then complain afterwards that there was not enough men. Black guys, you know, there wasn't this, there wasn't that, there wasn't this.
No black guys at all were honored. No black guys were in films. Da 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 da. So people shut it.
Shut it down. Shut it down. I'm telling you. So anyway, International Men's Day, November 19th, Saturday night, 6 p.m. Okay, and then here's the other thing. $40. The ticket is $40.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, and two tickets for $75. And priced it like that because we want everybody to come. Nobody has an excuse. Everybody can get there and really enjoy it. Some of the best networking happened at that place last year, so I just can't wait till the event again. So anyway, so that's Saturday. And then Friday night is going to be a success and life skills. It's called Swag Up, Success and Life Skills Workshop for Young Men. So all ages 13 and up, any young men, they're going to be able to come in, sit down with older guys who are going to tell them about life skills, from women and girls to work and professional careers to school to being a man to you name it. All guys, people are saying that their young men don't have an opportunity to be mentored by older men, whether they have dads in the home or not. They need to be able to interact with other men of significance and talk to them. So I've invited some really fabulous men. We've got guys coming in from Texas, Georgia, Virginia Beach, North Carolina, and Columbus, Ohio. You remember Pastor Tyus, Ronnie, from my church, Rhema Christian Center in Columbus?
I don't recall meeting him.
Okay. Well, he's coming. He's the master of ceremonies. It's just, like, probably one of the best. You know, Philadelphia, how can I forget Joel? Joel Austin's coming in from Philadelphia, you know, big-time fatherhood advocate in Pennsylvania. He's coming. He's flying in for it. So it's going to be really nice. So anyway, Friday night will be the event for young men. Saturday night is going to be the awards program. Be there. So I'm done with my announcements for that. So let's talk about what's happening all over the place. The first thing I really want to talk about is the ceremony today for Dr. Martin Luther King on the Washington Mall. His statue, if you didn't know about that, of course, the statue was it was not unveiled today because they unveiled it in August. If you remember, there was a hurricane on the East Coast. We had an earthquake, then followed up by a hurricane. So they were supposed to do the unveiling early August, or late August rather, and they were not able to do it, so it was rescheduled for today. And so on the Washington Mall today, thousands of people went down to hear none other than our own President Obama speak. The president, the first lady, and their daughters were escorted through the area where the monument is located, and it's huge. It cost $120 million to build the monument, $120 million, and it's a huge statue. If you're looking at the show page for Adam Where Art Thou, you can get a glimpse of it, and you can walk in between. It is two huge, and as the president talked about it today, larger-than-life stones. And Dr. King has carved the entire full length of his body is carved on one side, and then a segment of his I Have a Dream speech is etched in the stone on the other side, and it's just amazing. So if you watch today, you saw the president being walked through the area with Sasha and Malia and the First Lady, and they were being escorted by two children of Dr. and Coretta King. It was Bernice King was the host, and her brother, of course, was there, and they escorted the first family. I mean, it was just, I sat there, and I didn't know whether you know, to hold back the tears or just let them flow. I really didn't know what to say. It was just unbelievable. And then when the president spoke, you know, they escorted them through, and then the president spoke. He was introduced by Dr. King's son. They had Ken Salvagar. Oh, gosh. I can't remember his name right now. I'll look it up while you're talking, Ronnie. But he was the gentleman. He's in the president's cabinet. He was basically the only.
Salvagar?
Yes, thank you. He's the only person that was not of color who was there. So the opening song was done by Lady Riri.
Oh.
Yes. Aretha Franklin. Everybody was talking about how she was next to death. Do you remember?
Oh, no. She's recovered. She recovered a long time ago. Remember? She's been recovered for almost a year and a half.
I thought that was just a couple of months ago that she was in the hospital with cancer or something. What was wrong?
Not to, you know, digress from what you're saying, but she's, it was, I don't know, she was, they said she was very ill. She was in a hospital. So that was like, say, around last Christmas or January or so. And then by, you know, May or so, she was back, and that's when the whole Halle Berry had to play her in the film and all that. And she was perfectly fine now, she said. And she'd lost, like, almost 100 pounds. So
yeah. She looks incredible. She looks better than... Okay, well, anyway. So they did the opening song by Lady Riri. So Aretha Franklin did the song. Then the president spoke.
Huh?
Then Aretha Franklin... And,
hello?
What is that noise?
You told me to look at the Adam Where Art Thou page. You didn't tell me it was going to blare.
Oh, my bad. So anyway, so Aretha Franklin spoke. Then the president of the United States spoke, right? And this is, in itself is touching. So he's talking about, you know, Dr. King, what Dr. King meant to the world and, you know, families and blah, blah, blah. So he spoke. Then after he spoke, Dr. King's son again took the stage again. Then they escort none other than Stevie Wonder to the stage. And Stevie Wonder talks about, you know, Dr. King and what Dr. King meant to him and the fact that he wrote that song and he could never have imagined at the time that he wrote the song that, you know, there would be a day like this when they would be able to commemorate him on the Washington Mall. So they play the song written by Stevie Wonder as the president and the first lady are still on stage, about to leave. But before Stevie Wonder came up, the president, the vice president, and his wife, the first lady, and everybody who was seated on the stage linked arms and sang with the choir who was there and the rest of the audience, "We Shall Overcome." So, listen.
How touching. I saw
touching.
The president's speech, excerpt. I didn't get to see the speech at the time, but he was so eloquent. I'm sorry I didn't see that. I'll just have to look for a replay or some sort because I went to MSNBC, but they were done with it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you can catch it online. Unbelievable. Just crazy unbelievable. You know, and as you think about all that we have been through in this country as a people and as Americans and, you know, on and on and on, and then to look up where you're so accustomed to looking at a ceremony such as that and never see a black person. You know what I mean? Just like you expect it. You don't see a black person and you don't even blink your eye because you just assume, you know, okay, well, it's always like this. You never see, and if you do see somebody black, it's just maybe because they're singing or whatever, maybe. But to never see a black person, then to be just the entire panel talking about the White House, the president, the first lady, the children, the singer, the people introducing him, the, you know, just, it blew my mind. I was very, very happy. Okay, this is Mr. Elias. So, Ronnie, go ahead and talk a little bit while I talk to Mr. Elias. Hi, Mr. Elias.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was such a spectacular event, and I personally would have loved to have been there to witness the unveiling. We had that terrible hurricane, and then today I didn't get to listen to the president's speech, but I do feel that it's a monumental event for our country, as for the world, because right now we have another civil rights situation that's going on.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host...
Sorry. This is really...
This is exciting.
I just opened up the line on Adam, Where Art Thou? So go ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I was saying that we have the civil rights issue where the people that feel like they're being... Well, the middle class is being outclassed. So we have the protesters, which is a civil rights issue. People don't realize it, but it is a civil rights issue of sorts.
It is.
I'm not really sure if it's valid, though. I'm still up in the air about it because I think that, you know, you can't be a hater. You can't go up to the 70s Columbus Circle and protest the people that are rich outside of their homes. I think that, you know, that's a little bit on the side of, erring on the side of jealousy and hatred. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
I understand them going to Wall Street and venting and presenting their issue to the world, especially the college students, if there are any, that are out there that have graduated, have put in such hard work and they're not able to find jobs in their field. But to go to people's homes and stand in front of their homes and protest because they're rich, I don't know. That rubs me the wrong way.
Well,
I don't think that's valid. I don't think that's valid because these people are private citizens. Maybe they may be corporations, but you don't go to their homes and protest.
Right, because you want to say, okay, do they have to apologize? Are we asking them to apologize for their wealth?
Exactly.
That would not be me.
That doesn't work. And on top of that, you know, imagine now if the tables turn, you become the wealthiest person and somebody's standing outside of your house. Or you're not a wealthy person. Imagine if you walked outside your house right now and there were protesters.
That would
your
not
private
be
cool. life. No.
That would not be cool. And, you know, the thing now, we know from L.A., living in Los Angeles, that people can find out where everybody lives these days. So that's definitely, you know, neither here nor there. And people do it all the time. When folks are facing criminal trials or they're, whatever happens to be going on in their lives, they show up at their their homes and in their personal space to just...
I don't think it's right then either.
No, I don't think so either. I agree. I definitely do.
I really was offended the way they beat down Ruth Madoff in front of her door. I thought that was pretty bad. I know that what he did was terrible, but, wait till they get to court.
Right. Exactly. I agree 100%.
It's an uncivil act, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Uncivilized.
Wall Street... you know, so what do you think about that? I know what you were saying earlier today, but what do you think about the folks sleeping in tents and everything down on Wall Street? are you going down there?
No.
You know?
Not going down there. New York has a tendency to be less fragrant at times just on a regular...
Russell Simmons was down there.
Yeah. And he was dressed like a preppy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He had on his little baseball cap. But he usually is dressed very preppy. He had on his baseball cap and...
Kanye was down there as well.
So, okay. So help me with that, right? So Kanye West, Russell Simmons are down there. And so is the crowd then supposed to, like, turn around and protest them? Standing down there with them or what?
Okay. You're more of a New Yorker. You're inbred in the fiber of New York more so than myself. So tell me, what are they protesting? They say they're protesting the shrinking world of the middle class and the haves and the have-nots, meaning that 1% of the population of the United States have more money than the other 99%. But I think that those statistics are off. But they say 46% of the people in the United States are wealthy and the rest are not. But every time I go to the mall, I can't get in the Apple store. I couldn't get in the Apple store if I stood outside.
You are so crazy. Okay.
Have you been to the Apple store lately?
Listen, you have to take a number and come back.
The only day I was able to get in there was the day it was the hurricane, and that was because people wanted batteries.
Right. Oh, God.
More than they wanted to go in the Apple store.
Yeah. That was... The Apple store, and the only place that's more crowded than the Apple store is Costco and the Sprint store.
Packed. Okay, now, let's see. If I go down to Brooklyn, I can't get through the streets. I don't care what time of day or night. It's packed. In all the stores, people are shopping and all. So I want to know what those people that came from all the different states and whatever, because now it's breaking out in all the different states, I want to know what their issue is, truly, though.
Well, okay.
All those people can't be unemployed.
No, and I don't think that they are protesting to say that they are, but I think they are basically saying that, you know, this is, Wall Street is where it all happens. It's where all the decisions are made, all the deals are made, all the investment structure and everything else, right? So with the economy being such that it is, basically all the money rolls through Wall Street. Now, when the bailouts happen, now this is just my version, okay? So we'll have to actually just go into their mission to see exactly why they're there. But when the bailouts happen, when the economy began to fall, all of the people of the United States of America really are suffering terribly, and there's a high percentage of people who are now unemployed or lost their jobs. Even people on Wall Street lost their jobs. And what basically is continuing to happen is that these Wall Street executives, these big banks, are continuing to suck up more and more and more and more and more of the money, and they don't want to share it. They don't want to see it distributed to the people, which is where we're seeing the devastation. So if a Wall Street exec can walk home with half $1 billion in bonuses, but yet we're sitting here looking at a 19% unemployment rate in the black community, there's a problem. And I actually agree with them on that. So, the point is, all right, you know what? This is not your Wall Street. This is not your decision to make for all of the country. For you to just suck up all the money right here in this Wall Street area and not have to pay the piper or answer to the people for the greed that's taking place in this particular...
Nobody's sitting in front of the beauty supplies.
I can't.
We couldn't get in there yesterday either.
I can't the beauty supply. I'm like getting all passionate about, you know, the theme of Occupy Wall Street, and you talk about the beauty supply.
Well,
okay.
Think about that money that comes out of our community.
Yeah. Listen, I cannot lie to you. They said there's over a billion. I don't remember how many billions of dollars black women, and I'm not even talking about all women right now, black women spend in the beauty industry, you know, including hair and nails and everything else. It's over $1 billion. Well over $1 billion.
Well over.
If I can Google that right now. Hang on a second. I'll get off my
It's well over $4 to $5 billion that we invest in the industry. And if you go into the beauty supplies, we don't supply any of those, you know, the items. We don't supply any of the – we don't import any of those items that we use. They don't allow us to work there. I think maybe once in a while you'll see a black person here and there working in the beauty supplies. They don't allow us to own any of those beauty supplies stores.
And that's a whole nother – that's a whole show. We actually
what?
Really
– okay, I'll get off of it. But, I mean, if you're talking about where money is going, it's quietly – especially in our community where we don't hire our own people – how,
right.
You know, we don't hire our own people, and I don't, there's a lot that goes into that, but back to the Wall Street people. So they are fighting the bankers because
yes.
They feel that the bankers are sucking up the entire economy and not sharing any of the money.
Right, and I think it's a statement, basically, you know, it's a statement. Not just to Wall Street, but to the country. And that's why it's spreading across the world, because people are saying, listen, this is not yours to decide. And there are people that you need to answer to, and we will no longer continue to feed this, you know, bottomless pit, this bottomless money pit of a monster that you've created, sucking up all of our money, and then we just, you know, and you just ignore us, step on us, and just take your money and go buy your yachts and all this other kind of stuff. So the thing that I would like to know, and I don't know this answer, is whether or not the people whose homes they are protesting in front of have anything to do with the banking industry or, you know, some of the things that we're talking about right now. Because after that bailout, when the president had to actually state and make a state, you know, he make a statement about it, that any company that is going to put, you know, major, what do you call it there, bonuses, anybody, you know, you were not going to be able to take this bailout money and give it to your employees as bonuses. They just said
right.
No.
And they all paid their money back, from what I understand.
No, not all of them. Not all of them, but a good, you know, some
good
of them did, some of them didn't. But we're still looking, you know, I'm still looking at the banks and the whole real estate industry and so forth. So, you know, it's still a big mess. So I got off the page, the Occupy Wall Street page, but definitely there's a lot.
Well, they're saying, I looked at it, it says college students worry about job prospects, middle-aged workers who've been recently laid off, and 700 protesters were on the Brooklyn Bridge and got arrested. And I was on that bridge that day. I saw them.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I saw them protesting. I saw the people, hands behind their backs and that kind of thing, you know, and I didn't really understand what the – at that time, you know, it was like the beginning of the protest, so I didn't understand why they were all – in custody.
Oh boy. Well, I just wanted to let you know I did find the how much money black women spend on hair care and weaves. It says, you know, I don't even believe this. I have to go qualify this. It's in Madame Noir, May 12, 2011. $500 billion.
I only said four, so I was really behind the times. I have yet to step into the 2011 reality of this.
$500 billion. Can you believe that? I can believe it.
Okay.
Because I know I spent my share.
Okay, so then I know that what I said sounded crazy, but now,
yeah.
Open, yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, no, I said yes, it sounded crazy, but I understood it. You see, I knew it was a ton of money. I knew it was a ton of money. So here it is, Huffington Post. That's any woman. So, yeah. The big business of weaves and African-American hair. Yep. $500 billion. It's a ton of money. And you're right. We've been talking about and complaining about this for years, that the money that is spent on hair does not circulate through the black community, not a dime of it.
Because at least they could fix the street.
Get a parking lot.
At least, right? When we went
at
yesterday,
least,
you couldn't even park.
Yeah, at least they could treat you nicely when you go inside.
They could treat you nice, or they could get a parking lot. They could maybe be nice enough to give you your true discount and not speak in parables.
Yeah, none of that. None of it. They don't offer it because they feel like they don't have to. They feel like they don't have to.
And when I looked into it, as far as us supplying those, whatever it is that we all use, that we need to maintain our beauty and, you know, whatever it is that we do to satisfy ourselves and maintain our beauty and our appearance and so forth. When I looked into, say, maybe I should try to own one of these stores, the block there was the language. If you can't speak Korean or Chinese or something like that, you're not able to penetrate.
Right.
The, the import-export business. You're not going to be able to penetrate that business without a language, that I'll be able to go in there, speak with them, maybe in their own language, in their own terms, and be able to understand what's going on and purchase. Not going to happen.
Right.
And I don't know. I didn't apply myself, so maybe I should.
To learn the language?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least understand where the $1 trillion went. You can't tell me
we
spent trillions of dollars and nobody could tell me where it went.
Well, they can't. You can't find out where you went if you can't speak that language, and that's exactly what's happening. Because once the money goes back into the Korean community and all the books that have the major supplies, the suppliers, and all of that, the organized hair industry is owned by Koreans. The black hair industry, rather.
The black hair industry, right?
Right. With weaves. The hair itself, where it's coming into, and now, and all of the equipment as well for black hair. From what I understand, I know quite a few people who invented new products that would be great for black women's hair, and they couldn't even get the invention, they got the patent and everything, but to be able to get it distributed, they weren't able to do that because they were blocked or blacklisted.
Blacklisted and blocked.
Right, so that they
black
couldn't even
fog.
They couldn't even get the product into distribution because the people that they have to go to get it distributed are Korean. It's unbelievable. Can't get the stores, you know, because even if you get the store, it ended up being that you get the store but you're unable to supply it. You can't get the material and the goods that you need because somewhere or another you got to get to the Koreans who will give you permission to be able to sell to your own people, and more times than not they're not willing to do it. Now, in all the beauty supplies that I go into, and I know this wasn't our intended to have our conversation here, but the beauty supplies.
I'm sorry I did it. I took a left turn on Wall Street and ended up on Nostrand Avenue.
Anybody who doesn't
a left turn.
Is like a major street in Brooklyn, New York, where all the beauty supplies, if you want to see a beauty supply, a row of beauty supplies, you want to go to Ocean Avenue. You get all kinds of hair, wigs, beauty supplies.
Have you ever seen anything like that? Well, okay, I'm sorry, I said left turn, I meant U-turn.
Yeah, a U-turn on Ocean. But, you go and usually they will have one person of color working in the store.
Right, because they have to have some type of representation. So I'll give them credit for that. In some other cities, there is no representation, but they're doing better than they used to. But initially, that's something to look into. Anybody have time to look into and find out where that half a trillion dollars went?
That's a lot of money. Well, also, where did half a million dollars come from? Because this particular article that I'm looking at here over on shout out to Madame Noir, she says that the average income for African American family is $46,000, right? Between $38,000 and $46,000. So she's saying, okay,
what article is that?
It's in the Atlanta Post.
Okay.
It's in the Atlanta Post, and it's May 11th, 2011. So what are they saying? African Americans spent $507 billion out of our total estimated buying power of $836 billion in 2009 on hair care and personal grooming items, according to an annual report published by Target Market News. This figure is up 16.6% from the $435 billion spent in 2008. Cat's got my tongue. $507 billion in 200. How much of that money was mine, you think?
Well, no, a lot of it's not mine.
Yeah, because you're in the hair industry. Thank God that I would have spent more if you had not been in the hair industry. Thank God you live in New York now. But,
Thank God. Thanks for saying that. That was nice. But, yeah, a lot of it's not mine because I don't really shop a lot in the Korean stores, right? But when I do, I try to get my discount. But still, we have to figure out, we got to do something. That's a lot of money. You know, we could fix the streets.
We could
repair the buildings. We could build schools.
Yeah, we could really do some recidivism and make sure that all these young
We could hire half of the 19%.
We could the whole $507 billion, we could hire the entire 19%. But guess what, though? I just wanted to go on record for saying this. A lot of that money is not mine because, remember, I wore locks for over 10 years.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. I did color my hair. I still spent a lot.
Well, they don't own that. They don't own that product.
To have it groomed. But I went to black-owned establishments to get my hair done.
They don't own those hair colors. I can't swear to it. I'm going to do the research for that. I really don't believe that they own those hair color products and stuff like that. They may distribute them and sell them, but they don't own that.
Right.
But I'll find out. I will find out. But I really am amazed. I'm amazed. Because I was back at the $4 billion spending power since, I guess, I left off in 2008 with the study.
Well, I think Universal may want to say something because I see a question mark over there. Does that mean your hand is up, Universal?
Yes, it does. Welcome to the Universal More. Full line of Korean hair care products. We will get your Korean hair back to its natural state. Does that sound crazy? Now let's go to Korea and wanted to go to Busan and open up a store that sells Korean hair products. How good
would
you think
we love
we're
to do that? We'd be arrested.
We'll get shipped to North Korea. We probably would do good there. Let me stop. Yeah, but you know what? You sisters presented a good point. And, you know, what are they doing down there? And to me, that's just a shade of humanity. You have the people are a part of the collective who go to the front lines and in sheer number, and that's what they're supposed to do. And when you say, when you were talking about the Korean stores, that's how you got to get them out there. You got to stop shopping at the Korean stores. Stop shopping at these stores. Just boycott everything. Because all
but
this money goes
every time I bring it up, women look at me like I'm out of my mind.
Yeah.
Every time
I
bring it
up. It's a shame. You know, it's really a shame that we're conditioned to have to accept an unnatural state. And I mean, it's really some things that I always say, but I feel a bit uncomfortable when I say it. You know, if we just realize that everything is poison sometimes, everything that we that's external has been poisoned and tainted. You have to push your reset button. You have to stop just taking in because it's affecting you internally, and you have to just deal with the internal thing. And that is how you truly build oneself, you know, and we're doing it out of necessity, and people are losing their houses. And there was a man in one of the interviews I was watching on RT News. He was highly intelligent. I had to grab the dictionary on a few words he used. And he was homeless. And when the camera backed off of him, you said, wow, he is homeless. But the funny thing was, he knew how to survive on the streets outside of the system. And we all need to be that very same way. We need to be kings of our own castle and be able to provide for ourselves despite a system that is, you know, the wrong mixture of chemicals, and then there's a fail, you know, and just destined to fail. It's a recipe for just complete and utter fail, you know. So if we don't have a plan where we provide our own food and our own things for ourselves on an individual basis, you know, like a cell does that makes a body. If we don't plan these things this way, then there's always going to be some external force to poison us. And just like the T cells rush to poisons and viruses in the body, like the Occupy Wall Street thing is, you got those that sit in the glands and say, okay, now this is how we're going to plan this attack because this is what is happening to the body. And that's you. So if you can't go down Wall Street, don't go to the Korean store. Don't go to the Chinese store, you know, because they're going to start complaining. Hey, you're messing up the black people money, and we can't get paid.
Right.
We're
going to
go down to Wall Street too.
What state are you in, Universal?
I'm in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Are they protesting in Philly too?
Nobody does things like that. Like, Philly is just weird like that. You know, you can come to Philly and perform and, you know, be live on stage, and they'll just sit there and look at you, you know. That's just the way people in Philadelphia are. They don't really get out like that. And then, you know, I don't know if you've been to Philadelphia, but the police are just out of control. Footage of them being out of control on my YouTube page, you know, and that there is the reason why, you know, if we do something, it has to be in numbers before we're forced to do things in numbers, before we're forced to come together. Hey, you know, it's martial law or whatever this is, we got to eat, so we got to come out in groups of 100, like gangs, and take a store just so we can eat and survive. I mean, we should be like that now, you know, but we should do excluding the taking part, you know.
Right,
if you're going
right.
to be in the system, you're going to be on money, be on it long enough to get off of it, you know, and that's
right.
really what a system should be based around, your independence and not making you dependent upon it. And like we said, we are so conditioned to submit to a system that it goes so far beyond necessity that and we are so engrossed in doing these, compelled in doing in these practices that when you tell sisters to stop buying hair, they look at you like you crazy. You know, like, come on, I got to get my nails done. I got to get these things done, you know. And it's just, if you don't have nothing to eat, you ain't even worried about that.
Yep. You are absolutely right. And we, you know, wow. And I see we got you excited, too, today. But anyway, we are going to have to take a break in a second. So the music is on, so we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back, however, on Ask Kathleen/Adam, Where Art Thou? And so sit tight, hang in there with us. We will be back in just a moment. We're on break.
Adam,
where art thou? Now.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
Are you going to do the Lisa Nichols?
Where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me? Today's a new day. Today's a new day. It's all right.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that
Kathleen. Hello, Kathleen.
Can you hear me?
Kathleen? Yes, I can. Are you going to 8:30, or did you extend the show as 8:30? That's the end of it. Kathleen?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
are you going to 8:30, or is that is 8:30 the end of the show, or?
Yes, the 8:30 is the end of the show.
Oh. Okay. All right. All right. I just wanted to make sure. I just played break too, so. All right. Okay. All righty, Kathleen. I'll end it at 8:30. We'll just go to. At 8:17, we go to your next break, and then we'll be done.
Whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And my people say,
oh, oh, oh. You look so much better when you're oh, oh.
Right now.
Show me.
you to be happy, but then you gotta have something happy then. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I'll see you tomorrow.
If someone came to me now and said that I was just diagnosed, I would say it's really gonna be okay.
There's hope. There's so much hope. Just hold on to the hope. You can make it. You'll be okay. You can get through this. This too shall pass. It's not fatal for everybody.
Get informed. Get involved. Get your treatment, and then join the rest of us in the fight.
It's actually been a positive experience. I look back and think, oh gosh, I could write a book on this and how cancer saved my life. I just have so much to be thankful for. I'm more grateful for the people around me who have been so supportive. I had no idea I had so many friends until the cards started coming. And it was just wonderful to see people reaching out and caring so much.
Sometimes when I'm off the line and I get the opportunity to be in a different little area where I'm kind of off to myself, I dance. And they say, look at her, she's over there dancing. But if I had the chance to sit it out or dance, I think I dance. That's my motto.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Get in the fight. Take a loved one to have a mammogram done today.
Background. We're trying something a little bit different. We've got, I just want to do a big, big, big hug and kiss to Mr. Elias, who is holding us down on the TJRS Radio Network, making sure that we are simulcast at home on the TJRS Radio Network, where you can hear me on Adam, Where Art Thou every Sunday evening, and also every Sunday morning on the Sirius side with the J. Ryle Show. I am one of the guest panelists on the Sirius side as well. We have programming on the TJRS Radio Network almost every night of the week. So you can check me out over there and check out some of the other fabulous shows that are on the TJRS Radio Network at 347-850-1272, 350-857-1272. And thank you to Mr. Elias, who is here tonight. Mwah! Thank you so much for coming through at the very, very, very last minute when my co-host, Mr. J. Ryle, is traveling and very, very busy tonight and could not be here with us. So we want to thank Mr. Elias, who always comes through for Adam, Where Art Thou? So I'm going to play a quick PSA, and we will be back in just a second.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of 326 hands playing Mozart. This is the sound of 10,942 hands showing appreciation. 64 hands building a house for the homeless. 142 hands swimming a triathlon. 18 hands winning the big game. And this is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called Hands Only CPR. And it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's incredibly easy and effective. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. We're back. And, you know, as I was listening to that PSA, which was provided to me by such a dear friend of mine, I just wanted to, you know, Ronnie, did that make you think about the Michael Jackson?
Yeah, Michael Jackson. And it's funny because I was just going to ask you if we could just speak about it for a couple of seconds before you close.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if everybody's aware that the Michael Jackson trial has been going on now. I think they're in day 11 or 12. And Dr. Murray, his former physician, is on trial for manslaughter in the case. And he's being charged. Well, the medical examiner ruled Michael Jackson's death a homicide, and he's being charged with manslaughter. He's on trial. The trial has been going on now. When they left off, it really looked bad. I feel really bad for Dr. Murray, and as we had said, you know, I thought, well, he's a doctor, so 9 times out of 10, doctors find a way to get acquitted, but you seem to think he's going to go to jail for gross negligence.
I do. I will be stunned. I will. I'll be stunned. And again, I have to watch it some more. I was telling a friend of mine the other evening that I did, you know, not that, not, and please don't anybody take this the wrong way. I definitely am very upset about the fact that this happened to anyone, you know. And as much as I love Michael Jackson, Ronnie, gosh, how much we love Michael Jackson.
We really love Michael Jackson.
Oh, my goodness. We spent, you know, if black women spent $507 billion in a just imagine how much money we spent on the
That's why we have money, because Michael Jackson is no longer here for us to spend money on him. Poor Michael.
How much money did we spend? Thousands.
I can't
of
even begin to talk. We, you know, if we go on and on, we'd be here until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
I know, certainly, but for sure. But as a nurse and a lawyer, watching this trial, you know, it grabs me in a whole different way, because I'm really into the medicine of it and definitely into the legal aspect of it. So when I watch it and I listen to the gross negligence of this particular physician, to me, they would have to really pull a rabbit out of a hat to be able to get him off, or they have to be willing to do some kind of a deal with him. You know,
which is what I wish he would do.
So we don't have to hear anymore about this, right?
Exactly.
So
for the sake of Michael's mom, you know, his family members too, but especially his mother, to have heard the physician say that if, in fact, this Dr. Murray, had just taken the quick second and called 911, had someone come and help him, and then went to try to save Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson would be alive today. I personally think that he got caught up with being involved with a celebrity, and now how many different women he could get, because, you know, all the women were super-duper excited, uber-excited that they had someone that was interested in them that was a private physician to Michael Jackson. So that, like, put his quotient for catching women way over the top. And then, you know, wherever he went in the celebrity circles, now he's in the celebrity circle. He took a chance that I believe the other doctors bowed out on. This is my opinion. Michael had been going from doctor to doctor to doctor, because that's what drug addicts do. And I'm saying it. I think he's a drug addict. Hopefully nobody takes offense. But I just think he had a problem that was starting to get out of control. And other doctors in the area were saying, no, hands off, because they already saw what happened to the doctor that treated Kanye West's mom. I'm not saying she was a drug addict, but when the doctors had suggested that she get her health in order before she tried to get procedures done, she insisted on having the procedures done, and there she is. So now that doctor, you know, I don't think anybody would go to him to get an ingrown toenail removed at this point. So the other doctors have hands off on Michael, seeing where he was heading. And now this doctor saw the big bucks and, you know, $150,000 $150,000 a month. How did he think that he was going to collect $150,000 a month? Is he serious?
To just go around with him. I don't know. But you know what? I wanted to ask Jerome, because my friend Jerome knows everything. I wanted to ask Jerome if, and Ronnie, you may know this too, because you know everything also. Everything I ask you about, especially about celebrities, you know. Was Michael ever treated for drug abuse? I know he said at one point he was addicted to pain pills, right? But I don't know if they ever said that he was having trouble with pain pills. Did he ever say he was addicted?
Yes, he did.
He did. Jerome, your mic is live.
He absolutely said it.
Oh. Welcome, Mr. Jerome Esprit, to Ask Kathleen, our special edition tonight of So Free Sunday, which is so free tonight.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys? I was just enjoying listening, and I didn't know my mic was open. I'm glad I wasn't singing songs or something over here. Well, you know, I don't, as Kathleen knows, I had nothing on this topic. Michael, I can't get past the my own personal rose-colored glasses when it comes to Michael Jackson, so I don't want to know anything. Like, my thought is since he's passed away, all the reasons why he's passed, I really have no use for. I was watching James Brown. They had something about James Brown on TV One today, and then I thought the same thing. I want to listen to his music, but I don't really want to hear the story. So I don't know what I think about any of the actions of the doctor just because he's passed. Now, if they were suing him for something that he did wrong, that would be different. But you never know if it's a scapegoat situation or if it's a situation where he killed them or negligence. And usually when it comes down to it, I only kind of focus on the person that was kind of hurt by the whole thing. So I don't have a feeling one way or another towards the physician. But I can tell you this just for record. Every man, or women do this as well, but everybody uses their position for something. And so men are, it's why when people lose their jobs on Wall Street, they jump out of buildings. It's just they've talked about poor people so long, when they lost their job, they didn't know that they were going to keep their wife. So men, that's not unusual. Not for men, anyway.
Yeah. Did you want to say anything else about the Wall Street, I don't even know what to call it, the Occupy Wall Street, we'll just call it what they call it.
Oh, the protest for the Occupy Wall Street protest?
Uh-huh.
Well, oh, gosh, I have a lot of things to say with this stuff because, you know, being the Million Man March's anniversary for me, that and atonement and reconciliation, I think it's a perfect time to kind of revisit the power structure. And I think if you watch the protest, and over 800 protest around the world in, you know, over 80 countries, you'll see that I think people are genuinely getting tired of taking the interest of corporate and businesses over the interest of people. Now, I think it kind of settled in a little bit that everyone is not going to have $1 million. So what happens during election time and during our policy discussions, people always say you can't punish them for being rich, and that used to make sense for people who thought they were better than someone else. Now that so many people are struggling across the board, they're realizing that we've been squeezing money up to the top in our policies, and what are we going to do to change that? And so corporate, you know, the Koch brothers and all those guys on the conservative side and on the Republican side, and even the liberal side, I think I talked about this before with you, Kathleen, that if you look at ABC, NBC, you look at all of those guys, there is no liberal progressive news out there. All of those news outlets are reflecting the thoughts of corporate power because they're all are owned by large corporations. And so it always makes it look like the people are fighting against the president on the news when you obviously are seeing these Occupy Wall Street protests happen across the country and around the world, and you cannot say that that group of people does not reflect the overwhelming population of everybody else. I mean, we as a country, and I'm sorry to go on about this, but we as a country looked at the Tea Party and said we need to give them a seat to the table, and they've been deciding 50% of our policy for the past year since the Republicans been in control. But we're seeing the Occupy Wall Street come up, and I guarantee you that that's more 70% reflective of our population than that 5% of the Tea Party reflection of our population. So hopefully this may – I'm sorry. I know it will change our political landscape because no politician on either side is going to get away with we need to keep status quo. I don't think it's going to happen anymore.
Right. Well, you know, the thing that the question that I have about it, though, is, you know, how do we and I'm not really posing it as a question for anybody to answer, but how do we expect for this to end, and what will be, I think, Jerome, I think you put this out to me the other day, too. It's like, what would be the positive outcome of this? What's the exit strategy? What will get the occupiers to say, okay, we did our job, we're happy, let's go home? Because, you know, I think you were saying that, Jerome, and Ronnie, I don't know if you have seen anything about, like, you know, there's no list of demands, if you will, or the list of this is what we want, and this is what you could actually do in a reasonable time frame to get us to move off of Wall Street.
Well, that's why I'm confused about why they're there. I want to know what they feel the outcome is going to be. And I also, you know, when he said that we feel like we're fighting with the president, I do believe there's a lot of times where we have situations that come up and there are ruse. We don't know what the backstory is as to why they're actually out there and who actually decided, oh, yeah, get them out there. Then everybody thinks, oh, yeah, what the president did was so terrible. What he's proposed is so terrible, because that's what I hear all day long. His bailout was terrible. His this was terrible. His that was terrible. Everything he's done was terrible, which we, of course, all know that's not true. And now I'm waiting to find out what is going to be the outcome. Are these people going to sleep out there for the rest of their lives? Are they going to go and when it starts to get cold down on Wall Street? Are they going to stay out? You know, they wouldn't let them clean the park the other day. They didn't want them to clear out so that the people could clean the park. So they stayed there, and they were nice enough to let them stay there. But I want to know what is going to be the result. What is it going to do for the economy? What is it going to do for the people, the students, the people that are out of work? Who cares? Does anybody care? Is anybody listening?
I was just going to say, I know it's cold on Wall Street tonight because I used to work over there, so I know it's cold. That wind is whipping off the East Room.
Because I went outside right now without a coat, and I ran back in. So I don't know how long they're going to stay out there. It's not going to be good.
But Jerome, go ahead. Don't let us get started on how.
I'm with you. But all I'm saying is that I know they're going to probably move indoors. It is getting cold. But I think they're right. Like, what is going on is that they're right not to have a list of demands. And the reason that this is politically really good for this country is because I think someone needs to stick a flag in the ground and say that we're wrong, like we're flat going in the wrong direction. And even though they're peaceful protests, they are understanding with the attack on unions, the attack on teachers, the attack on poor folks, the attack on seniors, I think what is going to manifest out of that is the fact that those folks – are probably, their percentage-wise, I would say that there were probably more voters in that group than there was in the Tea Party. The Tea Party don't vote. Their issues are always how to bring down government. We need to, you know, step aside, and we don't need any taxes, and they don't participate in the process. These folks generally are engaging everyone now. And so it's good that they don't have any demands, because they would be pacifying all the people who are on television, all the commentators, all the pundits, all the politicians to say, here's their list of demands. And you cannot do that. We've been going in this direction for about 50 years. And so the problem is that our policies always or had started turning a corner that it had nothing to do with our humanity and it had nothing to do with people. And I think I've told you this before, Kathleen, but when I do political campaigns, I sit down with the candidates and I explain to them seriously that you're not in office to take anybody else's interest but the interest of the people who voted you in there.
What about 999 before they end, you guys, before you have to end? What about that 999 deal?
Oh, 999?
Yes.
That's silly. 999.
Kathleen, have you heard about the 999?
The only thing I heard about the 999, I heard about it, but I don't remember exactly, so I'll let you guys take it. I just remember somebody saying if you flip the 999, it's 666. I just remember.
Okay, Jerome, what do you think about it?
999 is Herman Cain. I couldn't even think of his name. Herman Cain's theory on tax, right? 999 across the board. 9% sales tax, 9% income tax, and 9% whatever, corporate tax. I don't know what the other 9 is. But the reason it's wrong is because most economists are saying flat out that it will tax the poor unfairly. So the amount of sales tax, payroll tax, if all of that is 9, the only people who get the benefit from the discount is the people who have write-offs, which will be rich people. So they will not pay their own share, but you will be paying higher sales and income in personal taxes.
Why is he ahead in the polls, so they say? Because I don't believe half the polls.
Well, I don't believe the polls. He's not going to win. But the problem is that they need to stir up the base on the Republican side. So the Koch brothers, the billionaire brothers that back the Tea Party stuff, are backing Herman Cain. They're funding pretty much his, and they're on record now. There's a story in the Huffington Post about his big donors, and it's the Koch brothers.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. All right, everybody. We're down to the last couple of seconds. Close out on Adam, Where Art Thou? But we're going
to
just take five.
You know, those are the things that when you're able to forgive and let that thing go, you get the healing. Your whole household gets the healing. Your child gets the healing. And there's an energy and a space from which.
We're going to just take a couple more minutes and close out so we can let that go. I apologize for the music jump dropping right in on us because usually usually get an intro music before we cut off. Oh, I think Ronnie dropped the call. She probably hung up. So, but I just wanted you to finish your thought, Jerome.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that on the Koch brothers side, if you have the machine Fox News guys backing Herman Cain, that just say a little bit about Herman Cain.
Right.
I mean, so whatever deals he's making behind the scenes, those guys feel that confident to back him. So they're showing really close ties to Herman Cain is with the same guys who've been putting out the bad information and the misinformation before.
Right. And you know what else, too, is that it'll be interesting to see Cain and Perry, you know, and how they're going to play that off. And, you know, just trying to bring more attention to the Republican debates and kind of, sway people so that, you know, take your eye off the prize and start to pay attention to what's going on over there and put more energy into it.
You know, I don't think that works. I don't think it's going to work this time. And it's not going to work just because people aren't entertaining the Republicans at the moment. And the reason they're not entertaining them is because what they're trying to do is they're not blaming the policies that put us in this mess. they're trying to transfer it to the current president. And that's not working. Anybody who's been paying attention and anyone who reads will know better. So it usually works because people normally don't pay attention to anything but sound bites. But what's going on with the 99% in protesters and the Occupy Wall Street protesters is a direct reflection of what happened in Wisconsin and what's going on in Ohio. Now, in Wisconsin, they're planning on recalling their governor. I mean, he's been there. He'll be there a year in January, and they're going to get the petitions and pull him out of office. So,
why?
So even though we start, huh?
Why?
Oh, because Wisconsin was the state that, you know, tried to, well, they passed legislation to end collective bargaining, to get rid of unions and all of these other measures that they put in place, along with some stringent abortion rules and regulations. And they just started changing the nature of that state, which is one of our first states to actually have a union. So the union movement actually came out of Wisconsin. A lot of people don't know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So just taking that away fundamentally is kind of a shot over the bow of what everybody else is going to take. So if you watch Florida, like I said, Ohio, and a lot of other states who are passing all of these conservative measures, and they have nothing to do with the economy or jobs. They're using that as an excuse to cut workers and to cut people off of the rolls of Social Security and all of the other programs that they have. So Wisconsin's governor put in place all of these cuts to funding schools and the police departments and fire departments across Wisconsin, and at the same time, he gave a tax break at the same rate. So he may have taken, you know, $2 billion off the budget, but gave $2 billion in tax breaks to rich people. And right, and so what Wisconsin did is they actually signed the petitions and to get a repeal or get it put on the ballot. It's going to go in a few more weeks when they go to vote to repeal those laws that they put in place. And they look like they're just, by the polling numbers, it looks like those repeals are going to go for. The recall elections worked. They recalled four state senators, I think it was, state senators or state legislators. And so they balanced the state legislature in Wisconsin with there's only one more Republican than there are Democrats. So,
wow, this is that.
Yeah. I mean, when we talk about politics across the country, it's interesting that all of these news outlets won't cover it to the degree of importance that it is to be a bellwether for what's going on in this nation. So
right.
While these states, Nevada included, are passing conservative legislation, it is literally waking all of the people up. So we have an Occupy Wall Street because of that in particular.
That's incredible.
Right. If everyone was eating and pacified, people wouldn't rise up. People wouldn't risk staying out in the cold. But I wouldn't ever be cynical about why they're doing what they're doing. We needed to do this a long time ago. And
right.
For history's sake and for that record's sake, having almost 2 million people in the mall during a Million Man March had gone unreported. And
right.
Just to know that DC Transit sold 1.2 million to 1.3 million tickets on the three stops of the mall that day made it successful by how much money DC Transit made. So they know how much money they made, but there's no accurate count of the amount of people. But they sold, you know, more than 1.2 million tickets. So we know that it was over a million people there and an estimated 40,000 buses.
Right, because everybody didn't all take DC Transit.
Right. There was an estimated 40,000 buses, and the Howard students and all the other college students marched over. They didn't take transit. So if transit sold 1.2 million tickets, I think 1 million was easy.
Right, easy, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
My. Well, I'm very happy that you came on tonight. What else is really good pending in the news for you right now, Jerome? Anything really?
Oh, gosh. Nothing in particular. I didn't realize that you were still broadcasting, Adam. I was, again, listening, so I was waiting for Ask Kathleen's recap of Adam today, so I didn't really go pull out any news or anything, but there's always a lot going on in the news.
Oh, there's so much going on, and this is kind of the whole show has been kind of a recap, because we didn't start broadcasting Adam until late, so we really just did a So Free Sunday episode of Ask Kathleen, so we just have been talking about, you know, what happened down on the mall today with Dr. King and the president's speech, and he did give a little dig to the folks on Wall Street during his speech. Did you hear his speech? I'm sure you did. I know you.
No, actually, I didn't hear his speech today. I didn't hear you.
A little dig to the folks on Wall Street. Not a big one, but you know, significant enough. Coming from the president, you only need a little dig.
Right.
But
right.
You know, his speech was pretty interesting and powerful. I was hoping, and I don't know if it's just me. It could be just me, but I was hoping that this particular speech from everybody who was at the Dr. King Memorial today would be absent, you know, would just take a step back away from politics. That may not be possible to do because, as we just acknowledged, there's so much going on in politics and in the world right now. It's hard to not make some reference to what has actually happened, or not bring analogies. But I wanted to hear from the president and everybody else that was speaking really about the significance of this moment in relation to Dr. King and in relation to the direction the country is going, without my having to remember that he's running for office just in this space. I could think about it after, you know, and say, okay, this particular speech, you know, made me feel good and reminded everyone, including our children, about the importance and significance of Dr. King and how, you know, his struggle, his fight, and his mission, his dream really got us to this point and where we have to go. So, it just unnerved me just a little that there was that whole element of, I'm running for president. He didn't say that outright, but that whole element of politics just bothered me.
Well, I don't know. You know, I always feel like, you know, he's there because he is president. So you can't help but acknowledge that. So every time a president is speaking, generally, it is political. So I think we would have been more offended that he wasn't there, but we can't help but know that he's running for re-election. And a part of, you know, Martin Luther King, or the part of the legacy that we're always sold, is to get involved. He actually was a part of a movement. And so for a politician, it is always a part of the movement. It's why you ask, or why you choose to run for a leadership position, is to move forward some type of agenda. And if they somehow match, I think the president by right should say, listen, here is where we match. Here is the part of dream that I want to see go forward. I think that's a part of why he's there. And you can't take those audiences lightly to not do that. Right?
I'm just saying.
We can't ignore them.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I agree with you. But it just, you know, at some point, and that's what I'm saying, it's just likely it's just me. At some point, you just want a breather. At some point, just speak to me from your heart. And he did do that at a point in the speech. He did. You could see, for me anyway, it felt like, I could feel the shift when he was no longer campaigning and he was really speaking to me. And for me, that is a whole lot more powerful than that whole campaigning thing. Because when you're in that campaign, when you understand what I mean? You're in that campaign mode, and I don't feel the authenticity because I know I'm being sold a bill of goods. But when you're speaking to me authentically, then I feel like, okay, now you're, you know, respecting my brain space, and you're talking to me, you know, man to woman, man to man, whatever, and you're talking to me from your truth, your space of your truth. And so I can either decide to agree with it or not agree with it, but at least I know you're not just, you're not selling me something, or you're not trying to get me to buy into one thing against one person and give you my vote. After a while, to me, that just kind of unnerves me. And I just felt like even when he was campaigning for office in 2008, I just felt like there was a whole lot more of that connecting. And I understand, not that I don't understand how this begins to shift because of the nature of what he does and his presidency and all of that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, for me, after a while, it just kind of wears on me.
Okay. I understand how you feel, but as president, you're always speaking to the world whenever you have a mic and there's people in front of you. And so that's kind of why, you know, a lot of people get upset that he won't show up at their event and he won't talk to them. And so he's not a person anymore. Like, he can't be that personable until he goes off on his own free time. Because long as he's in, as president, you're always on the clock. But since he's always international news, he always takes the opportunity to speak to the world in a way that is in some type of impression, that gives an impression. So sometimes he has to speak. Maybe he may, like you said, at some point it became more personable and personal to everyone. But initially when he starts speaking, he has to speak from the platform of a world leader first. It's just kind of inherent with being there. But most of our candidates, and I know, I'm not sure if this is because he's a person, because he's black or not, because we always require that when black folks speak in front of us. But the thing is that we never know who the white candidates are or the white leaders are when they speak in front of us. But we don't require that they're personal. We don't require that they give us any personal feeling about anything. We just let them get up, sell us a bag of goods, and be in there gone. So,
well,
but
you know
him,
what?
But
no, go
I'm
ahead.
Just saying, for him, it has to be a really difficult position for him to be in, because I used to hear that a lot about him speaking, that people felt like he wasn't addressing them particularly. And I said, yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah. But and I just want to bring out again, to reiterate, to say that the reason I felt that more today was because of the event. That's why. I recognize, appreciate, and understand the difficulty. No, excuse me, I don't understand it because I'm not walking in his shoes at all. But I can definitely appreciate and empathize with the difficulty of being the President of the United States and, as we said, you know, good old Idris Elba, the first black president of the United States. He doesn't want to be known as black.
Yes. But, yes, that has to be difficult.
Right. So certainly I appreciate that. But just on this day, because it was just such an emotional moment for me that I just didn't want, you know, there's sometimes when you can just you just take it in stride and you expect it and you understand it and you're like, oh, okay, cool. You know, you even anticipate it, ready for it, and want it too, because you want to know where he stands on this issue, that issue, et cetera, et cetera. But today, I just really wanted it to be about Dr. King and the significance of this particular moment in time with this monument, and having it be a first family, and having the entire platform be African American, where that is just so rarely seen. It was almost shocking to see him being introduced by the children of Dr. King, who are now grown and are parents, and some of them grandparents themselves. They introduce Aretha Franklin, and from Aretha Franklin they bring out another choir, and then they bring out the president, and then you see the first lady, and they link arms and they're singing "We Shall Overcome." And when I looked at it, you know, for a second, the president is standing next to the vice president, Joe Biden. They link arms, and if someone had been under a rock for the last 4 years or so, they would look at that screen and say, oh, well, the white guy is the president, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It was just such an unusual, it was really powerful. Then they bring out Stevie Wonder, who wrote the song for Dr. King, and then they sang We Shall Overcome. And it was just really, it really, really was a very touching moment, and there's certain spaces that you just want sacred, and that's how I felt today. You know, I just wanted that sacred space and did not want to hear her.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I have to say, just, I mean, since I didn't say it, I'm sure I'm going to watch it sometime soon, but I want to say that's how I felt about Michael Jackson's his funeral, his service.
Yes.
It is
exactly.
The family, I mean, there was a couple of people, Brooke Shields and other people who were not of color, but holistically, just on the whole memorial, it was a black service. And I was proud of them for that, for not feeling the pressure. We know that he's worldwide Michael Jackson, but the fact is that the family made a conscious decision that the people who were going to sing was going to be Usher, and, you know, they used the community to send him home. And I thought that was great. I felt a lot of pride, and I was happy about that. That was their family's decision. And just like the concert last week in the UK, I also believe that the United States should do their tribute worldwide concert here. So it was a sold-out concert at Millennium Stadium, or Arena, I think it is. And, you know, why wouldn't we honor the world's greatest entertainer? Why wouldn't we do that? I don't understand.
He's too busy trying to prosecute somebody for his death. You know, that's worldwide. We're doing that worldwide, but not the concert yet.
Right, because
you
know why? Because we like mess, right? We don't have you know what? We don't have the patience for Occupy Wall Street. That's why it's easy to vilify them. And we're really exposing the fact that the police has been brutalizing people in New York City for eons. And so now we're watching it on TV where some women carrying children are just sitting, singing songs or whatever, and they're getting brutalized. And so I'm watching, you know, Tea Party folks cheering on the police saying, get them out of there. So Russell Simmons actually came forth yesterday to the park's owner and said he will pay for them to power wash the park. Right? Leave the protesters alone. He gave them an out. So he said, I will take care of all of the costs for them. Now, I think that that's something that should be commended, and we should be looking at as a nation to say, wait, something else is going on here.
Right.
Really? Russell Simmons came out and said that he was going to pay for that? We should look at this to say there is something in our freedoms in this nation that we get to protest. Every park can't be private. and I can't remember the comedian that said, oh, yeah, I forgot, or Saturday Night Live, you know, said that joke last night. I'm sure New York City power washed the parks quite often, so it must be time for that one.
You know they don't power wash the parks.
They don't power wash nothing. That's what the joke was.
Exactly. The park, I can't even talk. The park where I play tennis, if I have ever seen them power wash that park in 30 years, I would listen. I'd eat my hat. They have not. They simply have not done it. They don't power. And even if they did certain parts, they never power wash. Even if they did power wash some, but they don't power wash.
It's just an effort to get them out of there. But I am glad they're staying strong and don't move.
Yeah, I am glad too. But we're down to our last couple of minutes, and I want to definitely be able to play another PSA. So, Universal, I have your mic live if you want to say just a couple of quick words. And Jerome, I'll ask you to say a couple of quick words before we close out.
Okay.
Universal, are you there? Oh, maybe he's he might have his mic on mute. But I had his live. So, Jerome, give me a couple of quick words before we close out.
Well, you know what? I'm always at a loss for words when anybody does that to me. But I just want to say thanks for having me on, and I have enjoyed the show. And I'm mad that Ronnie didn't stay with us.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because she was on a roll for a minute there. I don't know if you heard what she was saying about the Occupy Wall Street, but you know maybe we'll get to talk about it a little bit later. But she was pretty funny with regards to that, and she really wanted to understand it a little bit more. So it was good when you came on and shared that. So hopefully next time I'll get her to hang out with us. But I just want to thank you, Jerome, for calling in. I want to thank Universal for being here with us and Mr. Elias for opening us up over on the home station on the TJRS Radio Network. And all of you who are listening under the sound of my voice, I wish you a phenomenal week coming up. Definitely stay strong. And if you're on Wall Street, stay strong out there and stay warm. Stay warm, because we are saying prayers for you and thanking you for your diligence and your courage for being out there. So you are listening to Kathleen Williams. This is Ask Kathleen, the wrap-up, the follow-up, and the review of Adam, Where Art Thou, which airs every Sunday night right here on this network and also on the TJRS Radio Network at 347-850-1272, 340-857-1272, and you can reach us here, 909-265-9189. If you would like to speak to me, your host, you can email me at kathleen@kathleenwilliams.com. I also want to remind you about International Men's Day. The website is up. It is incredible. And you want to go there. Get your tickets because it is going to sell out. I don't want you to be upset with me when you find out there are no tickets left. Definitely we want you to pick up your tickets. And the website is internationalmensdaynewyork.com. internationalmensdayny.com. You can get your tickets there, find out more about the event, last year's event, and any questions that you have, send them to me right here. You are listening to Kathleen Williams. This is Ask Kathleen. Thanks so much for being here, and we will see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Remote control, and there you go, off into outer space, distant from me. Where do you go? Your eyes are closed, I'd like to know. I stop sit next to you because you seem so blue, and pray nothing's wrong. Baby, I don't want to see us burn down and go up in smoke. No, just me.
All the healthy children eat well and move a lot. And move a lot. And move a lot. Eat well and move a lot. 60 minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day. Skip a rope Saturday, freeze tag Friday, tap dance Thursday. Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.